Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome to this new episode of Believe in Grizzlies. Today I have DeMichael Cole. He's the beat writer for the Commercial Appeal for the Memphis Grizzlies. And he also is a co-host on the Locked On Grizzly podcast. How you doing today, DeMichael?
I'm doing good, Sharon. How you doing?
I'm doing good. First off, I wanted to ask you, how has it been covering this season? I know it's like being chaotic as heck. And for me, it's like you go from having like expectations, then it's like, ugh. Then Ja was out the first 25 game. Then like they struggled. Then he came back. Then they were good and they started winning. Then he out for the season. Then Marcus Smart go down. Then Desmond Bane go down. Jake LaRavia go down. Like he played like how many minutes? Like 1 minute or so. Then it's Then they start winning again. I'm like, what is going on? Then it's exciting. Then the emergence of Vince Williams Jr. and then like Jaren Jackson Jr. doing his thing. I'm like, okay. And now we're now it's just like, what is going on? What are your thoughts on all that?
Oh my goodness. It's I haven't seen anything like this before. Like this team came in with all these expectations. And if you look back at, you know, how I predicted the Grizzlies before the season, like Sharon, it's almost kind of funny because one of the things that made the Grizzlies stand out to me when you talk about predicting the top six, top five, whatever in the Western Conference, and I had the Grizzlies in that group. And it was because I said, this team is deep enough to withstand injuries. They have the balance where if Ja goes down, they have Marcus Smart, Desmond Bane, et cetera, Luke Kennard, all in the guard rotation. If Desmond Bane were to go down, you still have Ja. You still have, you know, all these, like, they were felt like they were pretty much too deep at every position. And then pretty much every player that you – you don't imagine that. You say, okay, yeah, Ja might miss a couple weeks here. Jeremy might miss five games. Dez might miss eight or nine games. But you just don't imagine, like, every single, four of the preseason five projected starters, We all thought, by November, December, when you get to the new calendar year 2024, that the starting lineup would be Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, Marcus Smart, Jaren Jackson Jr., Stephen Adams. Stephen Adams was the first domino right before the season started. And I mean, the hits have just kept coming.
And how do you like how do you think that this messes with them, even though they tell us, they're fine, all this and that. But that has, man, I can't imagine the ways on them. And especially Jaren, he is just seem like he's taking this like a trooper. But it's just like sometimes you can see that he's upset and he tried to hold on to it, but you can tell that he be upset out there. But it's
I
just
mean,
like, but to me, I think it's helping him to be more of a leader, a vocal leader, and it's helping him with his game.
it is helping his game kind of evolve. Like Jaren, if you look at the last couple of years, he is ranked very highly in the NBA, above average. I think last year he was like 86th percentile in isolation scoring, but we didn't see a lot of it. Like it was last year was just glimpses there, and now that's pretty much his entire game. Like you don't see too much of him scoring the same ways as he scored in the past. Now he does, but a lot of his game right now is bringing the ball up the court. Getting the ball in spaces where he can kind of get downhill and use his strength, use his agility, use his footwork to either run through someone or around them. Like he has those capabilities. So yeah, for Jaren, I think it is kind of a blessing in disguise for him from that standpoint. And yeah, it is frustrating because at the end of the day, like this is how I look at it. These guys are so used to winning. And I think I was talking to Dylan Brooks. Maybe last year about it, or maybe it was one of the older guys this season. But I forget who it was. It was one of the veteran guys who's been around for a while. And they were telling me basically like most of these guys on this team, they've never really lost before. Like they've experienced the playoff defeats and the Golden State, the Utah, and all those things. But they pretty much have gone through great regular seasons, 56 wins, 50 wins. They've experienced a lot of regular season success. And this is kind of the first time where the Grizzlies, I mean, 0-8 to start the season and just constantly getting smacked in the mouth.
But it's like, and then like you can say the early losses or whatever, it has things to do with like chemistry and then them, finding their way. It seemed like they found it, then the injuries happened. But I don't know. I just don't know. But like chemistry is everything. They had to find their way. And then like a lot of the games that they lost was like close losses. It's like they didn't get blown out too many times. And then like the last two games, games I think they could have won. They should have won. But hey. But it's just like Jaren Jackson Jr. and somebody on X call it the Hustlettes went out there. They're beating people. They're 'cause like honestly, I'm gonna say it honestly. I thought the Kings was gonna blow them out. It really surprised me that they hung with the Kings like they did. It surprised me 'cause people was talking about leaving early.
And we were
Seriously, seriously, seriously.
I
Like
remember.
we was talking about leaving early. So
I literally remember sharing before the game. I was talking to you and a couple other people about it, and basically I was like, "This I don't see how they don't lose by double digits." And I think I think you said they'll keep it close, and they did. I mean,
I mean,
they were up
they
15 points,
and
but.
I think they ran out of gas, and then it's just like they're, still learning moments for the young guys. And then another thing, Taylor Jenkins. Ooh. When he took out, when he took Jaren out, that fifth foul, everybody, I know you was downstairs, everybody upstairs, we was like, what? What's the point? What you holding up? I don't. I don't get that part. You're down one.
It was so hard for me to understand kind of what he was trying to do in that moment because I think a lot of us have said this before that at some point, Jaren's got to learn how to play through it. Like Taylor Jenkins
but
can't.
he but what I'm saying is Jaren has been playing through it where he'll have those fouls if he don't foul out. He hasn't how many times he fouled out this season?
He hasn't fouled out. No, you're right.
Exactly.
And that, but that's my point too. Like Jaren has to learn how to play through it. And part of that is the coach trusting him in that situation. And it was only 3 minutes left, and you were only down what? It was a one possession game. Yes. It was a one possession game at the time. You do not take your best player off the floor. If he fouls out, so be it.
Yeah, but he fouls out, he fouled out.
Exactly. But exactly what I thought was going to happen. And the worst thing that you would have wanted to happen in that situation did happen is as soon as he went out the game, the Kings went on a run.
They sure did. They went on a run. I think they went on a 12-2 run. It was all over.
That was all she wrote, yeah.
All over after that. And then it just like, it seems like when Jaren went out, seemed like they was confused with the plays. And I'm so sick and tired of David Roddy missing at the basket, but that's another story. Yeah. So what do you think with the new additions of the new players that came in? I'm going to pronounce this man's name right because I've been studying it and I don't have it right now. Trey Jameson and Tyshawn Iwuamu.
Yeah, that was close. That was pretty close. Yeah, it's Awoma. Mm-hmm.
Awoma?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Awoma. Okay, yeah. Cool. Awoma. Because I've been looking at the pronunciation guide of that. Awoma. Okay, I got it. Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. So what do you think of those additions? Because I know that Jameson is going to help with the rebounding. Hopefully he helps with the rebound.
I saw him in practice. His first practice with him, and he's a big dude. Like,
ooh, okay.
You get up close to him, and you see it. Like, he has kind of a chiseled frame. Mm-hmm. You can tell he's every bit of, like, 6'10", 250, 260 pounds. So he looks the part from the standpoint of we haven't seen the Grizzlies since Steven Adams went down, right? That was right. Steven Adams. Steven Adams was kind of that imposing guy mm-hmm. who players knew. Like, they had to – they couldn't just – push him out of the way with one hand. Like, right. You had to bring it to move Steven Adams. And this guy kind of looks like one of those guys. I mean, you look at the rebounding numbers. He averaged more rebounds than he did points in the G League. Like, 12.9, I think it was, 11.9 rebounds per game. He's going to be terrific in that regard. But we'll see, you know, how much opportunity he gets in this stretch. And then with Tosin Awoma, I actually remembered him, Sharon, from that game mm-hmm. in March Madness when Princeton beat Missouri because it was kind of a big deal. It's like, you know, the Ivy League team beat, you know, Missouri SEC team in March Madness tournament. And he was a big catalyst for that win. And when you watch him play, even in the G League numbers and whatnot, he's kind of that Swiss Army knife type of player, a player that pretty much any team can use because he can score it. He can shoot it a little bit, shot around 34% in G League. He can rebound it. He can pass it. I think you might be saying, well, why hasn't he been in the league? Well, he's probably not great mm-hmm. at any of those areas, but he's good in pretty much all of them. So I think that's going to be a plus too.
Right, because it seems like the G League players and the two-way mm-hmm. players have been helping the Grizzlies a lot this season due to all those injuries.
Exactly.
And I really like how Matthew Hurt came in. He did what he's supposed to be doing. I think they could have gave him more shots, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. But, hey, he played a solid game, you know, his first game. Solid game. Hey, his first NBA points, he got 10 points on a night that really helped the Grizzlies.
Yeah, he can shoot it.
So what do you think about the rest of the season? Because, like, technically, they're not really out of the play-in thing because the team above them, you know, they've been losing and stuff like that. They still got a chance, but do you actually think it's going to happen?
I don't think so. They definitely got a chance. You know, they're behind, but they're not too far behind as to the point where it's over. Mm-hmm. But they'd have to really go on a run here. And it's a lot of those key guys are still – so far away. Like, I do think, like, if you talk about the way Vince Williams playing,
mm-hmm.
you know, Gigi, he's doing it kind of because he's 19, you know, one game he's giving you great production and next game you're not getting as much, but he's playing good enough where I think it's better than what we've been seeing off the bench. So you talk about the production that those guys are giving you, then maybe you get a Brandon Clark back right. for the stretch run in addition to Desmond Bane and Marcus Smart. If they're within let's say 3, 4 games going into that stretch, the beginning of March. They're gonna have to win a lot of games in that month, but that's kind of where you want to be. If they get 5 or 6 games back going into March, then when those guys will probably all be back, and it's just gonna be over. And I think right now they're just in a tough spot. They're about to be home, right? I know they haven't won a lot at home, but February, if they can get some of that home cooking, if they can kind of find their ground at home, and because they're gonna have a lot of home games this month, this is the month.
A lot of back to backs.
Yeah,
It's weird.
but they'll be here. So it's certain back to backs, the ones you travel, like when they went from Indy to, and played Sacramento here, or when
Yeah.
they went from Denver to LA. Those are the worst ones. But when you can sleep in your own bed and then play a team the next night, it's a little bit easier. Still a back to back, but I feel like they got to take advantage of these home games. This was the month, like before the season started. Sharon, when we looked at the schedule and whatnot, I said, "Oh yeah, February. That's it. It's some
Right.
tough games on there, but they're at home pretty much most of the month. That's the time when they can kind of go on a run and do some damage."
Even though, like, they're, they have, Jaren and basically, the other players, they still play tough. And then it just like seems like teams have a hard time really scouting them because you just don't know which guy is going to go off. And then it's just like you just can't take them for granted, saying like you just going to win because it's just like they still play hard and tough. And I think that's just has something to do with the Grizzlies culture where, like you said, they're not used to losing. And then like the
Yeah.
other guys coming in, hey, I want to prove a point so I can get more playing time when the stars do come back.
Yeah, it's funny because people keep saying, "Oh, they should tank. They should tank." I'm like, bro, have y'all been around the Grizzlies the last couple years? Like, Desmond Bane, for example. I can do this with plenty of the players, but I'm just gonna pick out Desmond Bane, for example. Desmond Bane right now is hurt, right?
Right.
He has had three, he told me one time, he's had pretty much three injuries his entire basketball career. Like, I'm not talking just in the NBA. Like, because at TCU, he didn't get hurt.
Right.
He never had a real injury at TCU. We played pretty much every game he was available for. When he got to the league, he didn't have a real injury in his mind until that back injury in the playoffs against Golden State, the one that really bothered him. And then there was the toe injury last season. And then this season, it's the ankle injury. So this is kind of the first time he's had, we're not talking about little mild injuries where you miss a game here or there, but this is the first time he's had real injuries that have kind of impacted him for a long time. But he's a basketball hooper. Like, he really wants to be out there. He's pushing right now to get back as soon as
I
possible.
know. Were you was
And
on the Grizzby? Was you on Grizzby when Michael Wallace said he tried to come back sooner?
I was. And it's true. It's Mike Wallace report is true. He definitely is pushing. He's out of, look at it. He had a grade 3 ankle sprain. He's already out of the boot. This is way sooner than anyone typically gets out of a boot for a grade 3 ankle sprain. So he's trending up for sure. And that just goes to prove the point. Like, if this team was tanking, like, he'd still be in a boot, just kind of taking his time with this recovery. Like, no, that dude wants to get back and play. Like, this team is used to winning. Marcus Smart has never missed the playoffs in his NBA career. You think just because he's been hurt a lot, he's about to say, "Well, I guess this is the first time I'm going to miss the playoffs." No,
Nah,
like,
that's assistant coach Marcus Smart because I see him
yes.
up coaching every game. This man is up coaching. He telling somebody, I mean, then he talking to the refs. I'm
He on the
like,
refs a
man,
lot, yeah.
on a lot. It's just they might as well get him a assistant coach. Start paying him to be assistant coach now. Even though why he injured. And then I saw where you guys said that Ja had his Ja in practice today had the whistle and coaching and everything. But I and then like I was telling somebody last episode, I think it's good for the guys to have Ja there on the bench. You
Oh, for
see him
sure.
coaching too, but I think it's good to have him there. And I think that helps with the morale of the team as well. To have him out there.
You're right. I agree so much. Because he's good energy. Like, when he's on the bench, just like you said with Marcus Smart, even though he has that right arm in the sling, but when he sees a missed call or something, he's standing up pointing, and he's talking to the officials, he's talking to the coaches, he's talking to the players. Like, they got some guys that don't just sit on the bench and clap their hands. Like, those dudes be engaged.
So trade deadline coming up. It's gonna be interesting. Do you think there will be a big trade? Because I have heard rumors, not saying rumors, with a chatter, that teams are interested in Marcus Smart. And then for me, I don't think that's going to happen, but I don't know, because I'm not like a Grizzly insider. But I'm thinking, why would you trade for him and then just let him go because of this season? Then you trade for him for the future or whatever. He's not that old. Then people were talking about Steven Adams. They said, well, he has injuries or whatever. He's going to be 31 years old. All you need that dude to do is rebounding. Him having that knee problem, whatever, recovering from the knee, he still can get some rebounds. I mean, look at Andre Drummond. I mean, he's old and he's still getting a lot of rebounds. And I don't know. I just don't think that this chatter that we're hearing is realistic. People are always trying to go with the young, but we have seen in the past, sometimes that don't work. That's why you need veterans on the team. You just can't have young guys all the time. You need some veterans there who have been there, and then give them a guidance and pointers and then that can help them. It should not be a young team like it was before. Over and done with that. So what are your thoughts on those trade rumors, and then anything else you want to talk about as far as the trades go?
Yeah, I think the guys that you mentioned, I mean, from what I've heard, are pretty safe. I don't expect Marcus Smart to get moved. I don't expect Steven Adams. At least we're talking trade deadline. I don't expect either one of those guys to be moved right now. I think it's to a lesser degree other guys that could be moved. You know, like Xavier Tillman Sr., for example, who's on an expiring contract. Mm-hmm. John Conchar is another name that I've been hearing that could be moved as well. And if John Conchar's moved, he's going to go to a contender and go compete to win a championship. And I think Xavier Tillman is more of the numbers game. He's a guy who's on in the last year of his contract. The Grizzlies need more roster flexibility, and they're probably unlikely to resign him simply for the fact that 14 other guys are under contracts beyond this season, and they have to sign a first-round pick, which means they need one spot for that. Gigi Jackson's contract will eventually have to be addressed. That's another roster spot that you'll need something for. And then if you want to make any other free agency acquisition, that's another roster spot. So I'll say two, but you're probably going to need three roster spots. And right now, Xavier Tillman is the only one that you know you're going to have. So I think it's a good idea. It's a good chance that they could say, you know what, we're not going to have him next season. We might as well try to get something for him in return. So I think Xavier Tillman and John Conchar has more years left on his deal, but he's a name that's popular simply for the fact he's kind of a low usage, high impact type of player, someone that you don't have to give the ball to that much, which means he could go to a team with, you know, ball dominant guys, you know, like a Boston Celtics, for example, or like a Indiana Pacers, where they won't need him to score 6, 7, or 8 points. They just need him to go play defense and rebound.
Right. What about Zaire Williams and Jake LaRavia?
I haven't heard much on those two right now. And if I was just giving you my kind of estimated opinion, guess, like, I think those are two names that we really should watch in the offseason. Like, okay. those are guys that I think, like, don't get me wrong, I don't see how both of them are on the roster next season, but I haven't heard anything. So it'll come out of left field for me if one of those guys are moved at the trade deadline. I think right now, X and Conchar are the two guys that I've heard the most about. But I think when you talk about Zaire Williams and Jake LaRavia, they are two names to monitor as we get into the offseason, and the Grizzlies may want to execute some, you know, signing trades or whatever the case may be. But we've seen the last two offseasons, they made some pretty big moves. And I think when we get to that point, those are the names I think that could be real relevant around that time.
So we got news today that Marc Gasol is retiring. What are your thoughts on that? He's like one of the Grizzlies' greats, member of the core four, All-NBA, Defensive Player of the Year. He, you know, was traded to Toronto, got his title. So what do you think his legacy is as far as Memphis goes?
He did a lot for this community. He's great. You know, he kind of just – he became a Memphian, you know, from his days in high school, right? Like, he was here when his big brother Powell was playing. And over the course of time, I mean, he just was a big part of the Greek grind culture, and he probably was the most decorated player of that core four. Like, he was a three-time All-Star. He made All NBA two times, Defensive Player of the Year in NBA. He beat out LeBron James that year, so that's a year that everybody, talks about a lot. So he beat out LeBron James to win Defensive Player of the Year, and he left the Grizzlies, went to the Raptors, won an NBA championship. We know about all the success he's had in international basketball, with Spain and whatnot. And I mean, Santi Aldama has talked to me a bunch about, the impact that Powell and Marc Gasol kind of had on his basketball career as he grew up. So Marc Gasol is a basketball legend in Memphis, in Spain, and kind of just internationally, period. Like, he has kind of established himself. I'll always remember, kind of as a kid, like, we would watch Marc Gasol, and it would kind of be funny because when you're a kid, watching basketball, you're looking at Blake Griffin and, Amar'e Stoudemire and all these dudes that like to dunk the ball all over the place. And then Marc Gasol was so good, and it was kind of like Jokic style before Jokic, right? Like, he just passing the ball, and then he started shooting three-pointers, as he got later in his career. He was always effective scorer. Then you always saw him get all these block shots, and he's barely jumping. And it's just like, it was kind of funny. I remember it being just funny to me as a kid. Like, bro, how is Marcus Smart so, I mean, why did I say Marcus Smart? How is Marc Gasol so good without even, it doesn't even look like he tries that hard. But that's an IQ thing. When you get older, you understand that he just knew the game so well that he could kind of play a step faster than some people.
And you know what? You know what I always say? If Mark had that Zebo attitude, dude would have been the best player on the floor every night. But Mark always wanted to play the game the right way. But if he was selfish, sometimes I had an attitude where, like, you can't guard me, this, that, and the other. He would have been the best player on the floor every single night. He, like you said, he would have been Jokic. He would
Yeah,
have been Jokic. He
he
really
could have
would.
been that. He
Right.
I
He
he
could
could have been.
have. He could have. He really could have. So, what do you think gonna happen in like the next two games at home? They got Cleveland, then they got Golden State. So last time I was listening, I didn't come, I was listening to Jacob Gilliard audio. He had said that Ja Morant wanted them really to win that game against Golden State really bad. Because those players came out there. They played Golden State. I'm like, who is this team? They played Golden State tough, real tough. So I know it's going to be on and popping on Friday night. So what do you think about the game in Cleveland? And then, like, since they got the rebounding backup in Jameson, is he going to get real minutes? I think he should. He tall, big dude, like you said, stocky. Hey, they need him out there to deal with Cleveland. So what are your thoughts on those next two games?
You just hit it on the button for me. Like, this Cleveland is weird to me from the standpoint of they haven't had Evan Mobley lately, and they haven't had Darius Garland. Darius Garland, former All-Star. Evan Mobley was in the competition with Jaren Jackson Jr. for Defensive Player of the Year last year. And I believe he finished second or third in that voting and whatnot. So they haven't had those two, but they've been really good. And in a way, if you watch the Cavs play, that Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, front court thing, it's not the greatest fit. And that's why, people have kind of been saying that they're going to eventually move one of those guys. So now when you have Evan Mobley returning to the lineup, naturally you have a talent upgrade, but I wonder how it's going to fit all together, back so fast. Like, maybe the Grizzlies can catch him early, but I don't know if that's going to happen. I just wouldn't be surprised if it happens, because at the end of the day, this team is big, the Cavs. And the Grizzlies, I mean, we just saw Sabonis look like he was about to set a whole rebounding record, against them. And I mean, we've seen Zubac, we've seen Jokic, we've seen all these guys have 20 plus rebound games against the Grizzlies. And Jared Allen has been one of the best rebounders in the NBA. Evan Mobley is solid in that regard as well. So it's going to be a tough game on the glass, that first one. And I mean, Donovan Mitchell, he doesn't have Dillon Brooks to get under his skin anymore here.
But
So
he gonna have to deal with Vince
he's gonna
Williams
have to.
Jr. though.
I was about to say he got to deal with Vince now. So we'll see how that goes. But I don't know how that one will shake out. because of the rebounding. Like, we're gonna have to see Trey Jemison. They're gonna have to throw him out there, and we'll really know real fast if he can hang up here or not. And then in that second game, that's the one where I think it's the more winnable game. Look at between the Cavs and the Warriors. The Warriors game is definitely the more winnable one to me. It's all about just who you're gonna have available. You know, Luke Kennard, Derrick Rose are both kind of close to getting back. You know, talking to Taylor Jenkins, it sounds like either that game, that Warriors game, or the game after that where they play the Celtics and the Knicks, somewhere in that stretch, they're going to get Kennard and Rose back. So if it's that game against the Cavs where those guys are able to return, then I like their chance. I mean, not the Cavs, excuse me.
The Warriors.
But, against the Warriors, then I like their chances a little bit more because you're going to need, you know, a couple more battle-tested guys, because I feel like the Warriors are going to come out quick. They're going to say, all right, we let these young dudes catch us slipping last time, and they're going to play with kind of a higher, you know, higher level of awareness of what the Grizzlies bring to the table. But the Grizzlies can win that game for sure.
Oh, and let me get back. I forgot to ask you about Jaren Jackson Jr., his comments on Mark Gasol at practice. I know you put it out, but, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr. played with Mark Gasol his rookie year. It wasn't the whole year, was it?
No, that was the year that Mark Gasol got traded.
Yeah, but he played with Mark, and Mark taught him some things. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, he just said he was talking about, you know, what he learned from Marcus Smart from Marc Gasol in that time, and basically saying that, he taught him defensive positioning, which if you follow Jaren through the draft and Jaren in college and even early in his NBA career, like Jaren kind of used to be known for kind of like hunting block shots, but being out of position and having someone like Marc Gasol, who is one of the better players in his prime at being at the right place at all the times on defense. He talked about how that was an important part of his game and kind of learning that from him. And I think that stood out to me as well, because Jaren came in with all the natural gifts as a shot blocker, but being able to play with a former defensive player of the year, a guy who, when he says, hey, this is what you do on the defensive end, you can't say, you know, hey, I gotta know what he's talking about. That's a former defensive player of the year. He has what you want to have and what Jaren eventually won. But I think that was the main thing that stood out to me. But he talked a lot about his first encounter, the first practice where, you know, Marc Gasol was slapping the ball out of his hand, kind of testing him out a little bit and you know, trying to see if he had some dog in him. So he says he was going at it with him and whatnot. But at the end of the day, you know, Jaren said it made him a better player.
Well, that's good to know. So, you think Mark gonna come back and be on the staff, or he gonna stay in Spain and do what he doing? You know, hey, Santi alluded to it in his post, you know, earlier. You know, some coming to Memphis and yeah, whatnot. That'll be great to have Mark Gasol on the staff or something.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Zeebo need to be on the staff too. You know, help them with the rebounding. You know.
Yeah.
Maybe sign Zeebo to a 10-day contract or something. I don't know.
I think what Santi and a lot of the people have been referring to today with him coming back is when he gets his jersey retired. Because remember, the Grizzlies, they've been talking about it. Like, it's something that the franchise has wanted to do, but they, you know, kind of out of respect for his basketball career that he was having over in Spain and the rest of his NBA career, they were waiting on this announcement. Right. Now that he is officially retired from playing professional basketball, they're going to move forward with the decision on retiring that number 33. And we'll see when it goes up in the Raptors, but it's going to be right up there, right next to 50.
Right. So I'm thinking maybe, I wonder if they're going to do it this season or wait till next season, but you know, that's, we'll see.
The vibes will be back next season. I mean, it should be next season, but next season. I wouldn't.
This season, okay. Look, I feel you on that one. Wait till next season for the vibes to be back, you know. But DeMichael, I want to thank you for coming on with me. You know, because you know, like, you busy, you famous and stuff, you know. I appreciate you coming on with me. You gotta come back, because I really enjoy
anytime
talking to you. And hey, I can come on y'all, you know, little show too or whatever. Look, even though I don't like video, I like the audio, you know, I don't like being seen. You know, you can hear me instead of, you know. But I really appreciate appreciate you coming on. I guess I'll see you tomorrow at the game.
Oh, yeah, you for sure will. Appreciate you for having me, Sharon.
All right. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right.
For listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.